Blog Talk Radio.
Show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Okay, ladies, let me ask you this. Let's say you meet a guy who is reasonably handsome, he is fairly intelligent and articulate, he has a pretty good sense of humor and charisma, and he is just generally an overall good guy, okay? That's the good news. Now, let's say this same man has one potential chink in his armor. He has average to less than average bedroom skills. Would you still look to enter into a long-term relationship with this guy? Would you do all you can to assist him and make sure that he truly and thoroughly learns how to please you sexually? Would you have him maybe watch a DVD or listen to a CD or even read a book related to how to improve his sex skills as a man? My guest for the evening has written just this type of book. This is not just some ordinary relationship expert who appears every now and then on NBC's The Today Show or ABC's The View to talk about better eroticism in the bedroom. No, sir. The gentleman I have on the show tonight is a seasoned veteran of the controversial adult film industry, and some people have even referred to him as the most well-known African-American male star in the adult film industry. Who is this man who has made a name for himself over the last 15 to 20 years and considers it his professional mission to please women in the bedroom? He goes by the nickname Mr. Marcus, and tonight Mr. Marcus will open up and discuss his career, his thoughts about the adult film industry, and most importantly, his brand new book entitled The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex, as Mr. Marcus takes time out of his very busy schedule to get up front and straight forward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the same Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you though, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And I was just chuckling, looking at my friend Adrian talking about tonight's NFL draft. I'll talk about that a little later. Today is Thursday, April 22nd, 2010, and tonight, I'm going into that area that some people consider a little controversial, at least industry-wise, and that's the adult film industry. Adult film industry is that industry that nobody wants to publicly admit that they are a fan of. If they're in church around people who they consider conservative, prudish, they'll be like, oh, I don't watch that stuff, those little porno people, those guys are just disgusting. And then privately, they're on the internet. Okay, let me order, Debbie Does Dallas Part 13 and whatnot. And bottom line, the adult film industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Most people don't know this, but the adult film industry actually brings in more revenue than the mainstream film industry, including Avatar. That's how much money they make. The adult film industry makes a lot of money. But again, if you were to line people up in public and ask them to admit if they watch adult films, 90% of people would say no. I admit it. Shoot, I watch adult films from time to time. I think my first one was in high school, and I've watched them off and on since. So, you know. Some are entertaining. Most, quite frankly, I don't get into because they just not well made. But there's a few that actually have a storyline to them and have character development. I know those things seem antithetical to the adult film industry movies. People like, you don't need a plot. You don't need characters. I like the ones where they got some kind of plot. Anyway, I'm segueing, but tonight I'm going to be interviewing my third person from the adult film industry, but my first male presence from the adult film industry. I've interviewed two females before. In January of 2009, I interviewed who's considered almost the Meryl Streep of the adult film industry in terms of her level of notoriety, and that's Nina Hartley. Nina Hartley is like considered a legend in the adult film industry. I interviewed her, it was either in December 2008 or January 2009. Then last August, I interviewed a woman on my other show, not on Upfront and Straightforward, but I had a spinoff show called The Erotic Conversationalist. And on that show, I interviewed Diana DeVoe, who's considered, well, she's not considered, she is. She's the first black female director in the adult film industry history. She was the first black female director in the adult film industry, Diana DeVoe. So that was the second person I interviewed. And my guest tonight would, again, make my third person from the industry I'm interviewing and my first male from the adult film industry. So, as always, I'm anticipating an interesting conversation because he's going to not only talk about his career, he's not only going to talk about his thoughts about the industry, but he's going to be offering some advice, some tips, some hints to both men and women related to improving your skills in the bedroom. Now, I know most of us are very egotistically prideful and feel like, I don't need to improve nothing in the bedroom. I don't need to improve anything. Maybe you might not. You might not. But I'm always under the belief there's always something you can learn. If it's only just one little minor tip, you might learn how to just, you know, move your right big toe in such a way that it'll lead to a more pleasurable orgasm for your partner. Or, you know, just move your one pinky finger on your left hand, you know, on your partner's skin in such a way that it just drives them crazy. There's always some little tip you can learn. So you might want to go ahead and pull out that notepad. Don't try to act like you can't learn anything. I won't tell anybody. But, yeah, that's what my guest tonight has a new book, and he's going to be discussing excerpts from that book. If you want to call in this evening while the conversation is going on, the call-in number is 646-478-5710. Again, 646-478-5710. Hey, I see that in the chat room. Somebody said, a plot in a porno movie? Yeah, right. Hey, there are porno movies that have plots to them, and I'm one of those fans of them. That's the only porno movies I really like to watch is the ones that got, like, a setup. They got, like, a plot. They got, like I said, character development. If you saw this movie, Boogie Nights, who saw Boogie Nights? Boogie Nights with Burt Reynolds and Marky Mark Wahlberg. Burt Reynolds' character, Burt Reynolds actually got nominated for an Oscar for his role in that movie. But that's how Burt Reynolds was. Burt Reynolds, he actually took adult films seriously. He didn't look at it as just designed to just get people off. He actually wanted his movies to have some kind of artistic merit to them. I know all you laughing in the chat room, but see, I kind of think like him. I'm a big fan of Zalman King. Anybody heard of Zalman King? Zalman King is considered Hollywood's top erotic writer. That's right, top erotic writer. I always give love to all my listeners. All my listeners I give love to. But particularly, I give love to those in my chat room. I got Ballers Radio in my chat room. I got my good friend Adrian, Diva362636, in my chat room. Don Calypso, otherwise known as Alex the Haitian Sensation, is in my chat room. I got ECL Harris in my chat room. I got a few guests in my chat room. I got Hina Narper. I think that's how I pronounce it. Or is it Nina Harper? Or Hina Harper? Hina Narper is in my chat room. Hyper, my most loyal listener, with Adrian being a very close second in my chat room. I got my younger cuz from Detroit, Christopher Curry, alias Hype Style, in my chat room. And I got not other people guided, not my cousin guided, not my students guided. Self-guided is in my chat room, is in my chat room tonight. Other shout-outs would be, of course, my lovely and very talented, and I can just give a whole bunch of other adjectives to describe a woman whose both singing voice and her speaking voice is like an angel. Yes, that's my baby, Tyler Collins. Tyler Collins, she's coming out with new music this summer. I can't wait. I know you can't wait. She is just the love of my life. That's what she is, Miss Tyler Collins. My brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. My cousin from Chicago, J.P. Jones. My other cousin from Maplewood, New Jersey, Arthur Ball, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, otherwise known simply as EVP3. That's right, Match One Entertainment. No Head, a.k.a. Metal Hayes, Vanessa Turner, Ely Harris, Will Wavy, Mel Hopkins, Kathy Holloway Hill, Chad Hunter, Blog Talk Radio colleagues, my Facebook friends, all 5,000 plus of them. That's right. I love all my Facebook buddies. NBA playoffs, baby. That's right. NBA playoffs. Can I say Bulls victory? Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? That's right. That's right. The Bulls won. I know Adrian mad. I know Adrian mad. Don't get mad, Adrian. Don't get mad at that the Bulls won tonight, baby. That's right. 108-106. Bulls over Cleveland Cavaliers. The number one seeded Cleveland Cavaliers. That is right. That is right. Yeah, that's right. I'm bragging a little bit. Yeah, the Bulls now, the series is 2-1 Cleveland. 2-1 Cleveland. And at least they're making it competitive. Even if they lose the series, which honestly, more than likely, they probably will. You never know, though. It could be an upset. But at least the Bulls are making it competitive. There's some other series going on. Most of them are 2-0. There's a few that are tied. I think Phoenix and Portland is tied. And one other series is tied. Utah-Denver. Utah-Denver is tied. All the other series, Lakers up 2-0. Orlando's up 2-0. Atlanta's up 2-0. Boston's up 2-0. And right now, I think Phoenix and Portland, they playing right now. So NBA playoffs, I love the NBA playoffs. That's like my favorite sports time of year. NFL playoffs, NBA playoffs. That's right. NFL. Today was the NFL draft. I don't know. I'm not familiar with most of the names in today's draft. There's only a handful of names I really know about. So I'm not really into this draft like I usually am, because usually I know more names, but number one was Oklahoma's quarterback, Sam Bradford, I think is his name. Sam Bradford went number one from Oklahoma. Bunch of offensive tackles, bunch of defensive tackles, bunch of names I'm just not familiar with. Now, a lot of people were wondering where Tim Tebow was going to go. Tim Tebow, I actually thought he would go higher. But he went kind of low in the first round. He went number 25 to the Broncos, Tim Tebow. He was a former Heisman Trophy winner. But, yeah, he went in the first round, number 25. So, yeah, that's right. Who said, did somebody say something about my Bulls in the chat room? Don't hate on my Bulls now. Oh, they're hating on the Lakers. Okay, you can go ahead and hate on them. But, yeah, speaking of NFL, everybody knows, well, not everybody, but a few people know, I was big on the Madden NFL. I was addicted to that video game. Ooh, man, in the late 90s, early 2000s, man, that was like crack cocaine for me in terms of hobbies and activities, was playing the video game Madden NFL. Now, I don't know if you know, but there's kind of like this curse with Madden that everybody who gets on the cover of Madden, something is going wrong with them that next season. Like, people have either had injuries or a bad season. So it's like considered this curse. It's like this thing they call it, the Madden curse. Well, it looks like now Drew Brees, from the Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints, he's going to be the cover boy. He's going to be the cover boy for Madden NFL. Madden NFL. Before I go on with any news, I don't know if you knew, but yours truly has a new ebook out. That's right, a new ebook. This would be my fourth ebook. I have two paperbacks. Oh, I have two books that are both in ebook form and in paperback form, paperback and ebook form. My original book is called Mo 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. That's my original book. That came out in March of 2006. Then my second book, which is just an ebook, is called Mode 1 Hardcore. That's just an ebook. That came out in spring 2007. Then spring 2009, I came out with Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. That's right. That came out in spring 2009. Metal Hayes, I'll hook you up. I'll hook you up, bruh. I see you in the chat room. I'll hook you up because you've been a very loyal, you know, help me get my guests. I'll hook you up, brother. And then just recently, I've been getting a lot of good feedback on it. I came out with my fourth ebook. It's called Semantics and Scenarios. Semantics and Scenarios Inside the Mind of a Manipulative Game Player. Semantics and Scenarios Inside the Mind of the Manipulative Game Player. That's right. That's right. You got to check it out. Men will learn from it. Women will learn from it. You get a discount if you already own one of my books. You got to show me a receipt, though. But you get a discount. If you know my girlfriend, you get a discount. You know 99% of y'all don't know my girlfriend. She only got a close-knit inner circle. But if you know her, you get a discount. But, yeah, I got discounts and rebates going on. If I say so myself, it's got a lot of knowledge in there, a lot of wisdom in there. Anybody who reads it will benefit. Go to my site, mode1.net, mode1.net, and you can check out my new ebook, Semantics and Scenarios Inside the Mind of the Manipulative Game Player. That's right, Alan Roger Curry, Mo 1. Are you a South Park fan? If you're a South Park fan, South Park, you know South Park, they always like to take it over the edge. They like to, they'll pick on anybody. I mean, they'll pick on anybody. They'll pick on any religion, any organization, but they got threatened recently, so they had to get this show. Some Muslims didn't like them talking about the Prophet Muhammad, and somebody, I guess, put on a website that, okay, if you go ahead and do this show and, you know, and make fun of our Prophet, you might end up dead. And, yeah, that was deep. So, anyway, they did end up censoring it. That was, but, yeah, you know, South Park, they don't spare anybody. They don't spare anybody. I found this interesting. Christina Aguilera, I was reading about her today. You know, she recently had her first child, she said that she's become more sexual in the bedroom after having her first child. She's become more sexual in the bedroom after having her first child. That's interesting. I like, because, you know, a lot of times they say women go through, what is it called? Somebody going to have to help me out, postpartum depression and stuff. But she says she feels more erotic and more sexy since she had her child. I like that in Christina. I like that in Christina. So, I'm feeling that. She must have read my guest for the evening's book, The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex. Now, speaking of my guest for the evening, I'll be honest, I don't see him in my queue yet. So I'm hoping everything is okay with him. You know, so I've had at least a handful of situations where, you know, I had guests show up late because of either something came up unexpectedly or, I don't know, hopefully nothing happened, you know, to him. But I'm going to wait for him, patiently wait for him to get in my queue. But in the meantime, that's just going to give me more time to talk about. Did I mention that I got a new ebook? It's called, now somebody in the chat room said, dang, I see you, Nina Harper, whatever, saying that you got any short titles. Damn, that's cold. You trying to say all my titles are long? Hey, there's titles, then there's your subtitle. See, I'm just giving my subtitles because most books nowadays, they have a subtitle. But if you want to just limit it to the title, it's Mode 1, it's Hardcore, it's Upfront and Straightforward, and it's Semantics and Scenarios. There you go. Ha! Take that. Take that. Hina Narper or Nina Harper. Take that. That's my short titles. But yeah, there's subtitles with most books, and I always throw in my subtitles. But yeah, check it out, my book, Semantics and Scenarios. Why did that book come about? Because a lot of guys would ask me, Alan, when you approach a woman, when is it okay to use R-rated language, X-rated language? When should you only use PG-13 language, et cetera? So that's where the whole semantics things comes in. And I talk about, you know, certain words and phrases and whatnot you use when approaching women and expressing your interests. I talk about the manipulative game mindset of both the male manipulator and the female manipulator. Because let's be real, manipulation is not monopolized by any one gender. We both do it. Men manipulate women all the time, all the time. Women do their share of manipulating too, especially if they think a man is trying to manipulate them. I always tell men, if you took the top 1% of male manipulators and matched them up against the top 1% of female manipulators, 95 to 99% of the men would lose. Women, they got it down. The ones who are manipulative, they got it down. They got it down. So, but it's, I go into, in a detail, I piggyback on some of the themes I've already talked about in my previous books. And I talk about, you know, some new stuff, added wisdom, added knowledge. So it's on my site, mode1.net. Check it out. Pick up the ebook. And again, you get a discount/rebate if you already have one of my three previous books. If you already have one of my three previous books, you will get up to a 50% discount rebate on the price of the book. Also, for those lucky people who know my girlfriend, if you were specifically referred to me from my girlfriend, Ms. Tyler Collins, the lovely and talented Tyler Collins, you get a significant discount too. That's right. So check out my book, Semantics and Scenarios. I am going to take a quick break, and hopefully my guest will show up in my phone queue before this intermission break ends. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Leila Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward. My guest for the evening is an international superstar in the controversial and provocative adult film industry, and his career took off in the early to mid-90s, and his most known series is Mr. Marcus's Neighborhood. He's made appearances on MTV, CNN, BET, and a number of media publications, radio interviews, television. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, give it up for adult film superstar, Mr. Marcus. How you doing this evening, brother?
That was a hell of an introduction.
Well, thank you. I give kudos to all my guests who deserve it. Now let me ask you right off the bat. What attracted you to a career in the adult film industry?
I mean, I've had time to think about this a lot, and it always goes back to childhood. I think I was like a sexual person at an early age, and I can really go back to everything that kind of developed in me to, like, I don't know, I guess I was a pervert.
Okay, so now how did you pursue a career defense? Did you pursue it? Did somebody come to you with the idea? I mean, how did your career start taking off?
Well, you know, I was at the right place, right time. I mean, somebody's got to do this. You know what I mean? Somebody got to do it. And I think that you want the person best suited for the job. I mean, you want the person most well-equipped. And I had the mental capacity. Didn't have to think too hard, think too much about it. It was the right place, right time. I met Heather Hunter. I had the lead, sorry, and she right on the spot said, "Yo, would you like to be in the adult business? Are you in the business?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Would you like to be?" And I was pretty much from that point on, I was just like, "Yeah." And what do I have to do?
Heather Hunter, now she's another pretty much household name within the adult film. Now, is she still active or did she retire?
Nah, she retired.
Okay.
If there's such a thing as porn stars retiring, she has done it.
Okay. Now, when you first started acting in Adelphi, it's not like, you know, getting a job at the shopping mall or the...
Right.
You know, I mean, of course, it's just a whole different animal. How did your close friends, siblings, parents, all that... people who are really close to you, how did they respond? What was their reaction to your choice to work in the adult film industry?
I think, you know, to my face, they didn't act no different. And I think, like, when I wasn't around, I think it was the same way. I don't think it was, like, that much of an issue. You know, the way I like to think about it is I've been on my own for a long time. Like, you know, my mother was there, my dad was there. But they kind of like at like 15 as a little boy, you're like, they kind of just kind of tell you to go out there and make your shit happen. And so I was already on my own. So I really feel like, I think it was based off of no doubt. I think it was really based off the fact that my family loves me no matter what I do.
Okay.
Feel me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's the same way. I've learned to love my sister. She may drive me crazy, but I love my sister, so there you go.
Okay, now I've read, of course, that you have one, if not two daughters, correct?
I have two daughters.
Two daughters. Now,
yeah.
You know I got to ask you, even though it's an awkward question, but speaking of how people close to you respond, what do your daughters think about their daddy being an adult film superstar?
I think they think I'm fucking crazy. I'm fucking crazy, and I'm like, you know, like, how could I? I think, honestly, man, I can't really, I mean, I just gotta feel like my goal for them is to do the same thing, man. Look out for them, you know, try to provide for them. But ultimately, just, you know, if I love them, I hope they love me back. You know what I mean? I think that's all that I hope that, you know, my porn career doesn't interfere with their... And there's probably people out there right now like, oh, my God, how can you say that? It's definitely going to affect them. If your kids love you, they're going to love you no matter what. And I think the fact that we love our children no matter what, then that's reciprocated. And now, if it ain't, then I ain't done a great job as a parent. But I think I have. I think I've, you know, I love my kids like crazy. I mean, this is the career I've chosen. And, you know, I can't make any excuses for anybody because this was my life, is my life, no doubt. But ultimately, man, I love my kids like everybody else who loves theirs. I take care of them like crazy. I don't come home talking about porn at all, to be honest with you, because it's like any other job. you want to, like, leave the work in the office. And for me, if things are transitioning, you know, I really hopefully be able to make other things happen besides, you know, porn being the last impression that I make. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's okay. All.
Okay. Okay, I got one more awkward question. I'll move away from close friends and family. Let's say, since you've done it, at least say one of your two daughters, when they're of age, was to come and say, Daddy, I want to work in adult film industry. Would you say, hell no? Would you say, maybe? Or would you say, hey, you're an adult, do what you want to do?
Part of that. It's a combination of, you know, do what you want to do. You're an adult. But hell no.
That's an honest answer.
Okay. It's definitely going to be like a mix of the two. I mean, you know, that's all I really can say, man, because I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't, the way I look at it, and it kind of made me mad for a while, because people were asking that, well, you think your kids get, I mean, really, you think that that's what I'm raising my kids to do? Nah, I don't even think the people that are in the business right now had any idea that they would end up doing it. And those parents, you know, they got to be scratching their fucking head. So I feel like, okay, at least I got a leg up. At least I know this business. Because you get a lot of people coming in here, like, they don't know nothing about it. They're like, oh, okay, what the hell is this going on? And I think at least I can be honest with them up front and tell them who's who and what's what. You feel me? Yeah. Real shit.
Okay, now, it's interesting because I've interviewed, you're actually my third person I've interviewed from the adult film industry. You're the first male, though. I interviewed Nina Hartley, and she was very interesting. She provided a lot of feedback. And then I interviewed Diana DeVoe, and Diana DeVoe was interesting because I asked her some of the same questions, and she said her parents were mixed. She said her father actually gave her the green light. Her father said, you know, hey, I watch porn, so I'd be a hypocrite to tell you not to do it. So he just told her to, you know, be careful and do what she's going to do. She said her mother went crazy. But after she saw the type of money she was making, she said her mother kind of eased up on her. But speaking of Diana DeVoe, when I interviewed her, I did kind of a word association game with her. I threw out people's names to see what she would say. And I threw out your name to Diana DeVoe when I interviewed her, and I'm going to play the clip from what she said. Here we go.
We're going to play a game. I'm going to throw out some names to you.
Hello.
I want you to give me a one or two sentence comment of each name, if you've interacted. Now, I'm just assuming you've interacted with some of these people, so if you haven't, then of course you would just say, I've never really interacted with that person.
Okay.
Throw out a few names. Like I said, some of these names you might not even. Mr. Marcus. That would giggle.
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Marcus. Probably behind Jenna Jameson, but in front of Ron Jeremy. So I'd say probably the most recognizable male adult star in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Have you worked with him?
Yeah. Yeah, I worked with him when he still had Mr. Marcus' Neighborhood for Vivid. I was in the very last Mr. Marcus' Neighborhood. The very last production that Vivid let a black person home.
Okay, Mr. Martin, what'd you think? Now, first of all, that has to be flattering to you that she called you, like, in the, considers you the top two, top three biggest names in the business.
You know what? I was, like, totally, like, blown away right now.
I mean, when you're getting put on the level of Jenna Jameson and whatnot, I mean, could you have ever anticipated when you first started in this business that you would blow up to the level that you have, or did you have, like, this strategic plan to get to this level?
Nah, man. You kind of make all this stuff up on the spot, like, for real. because you are you're a brother in the adult industry. You don't see any other brothers. And but you see the white cats and how they run shit. And you meet a lot of people. And then you kind of you do your homework and you take a few low blows. And the biggest thing of all that overshadows all that shit is someone told you way back in the beginning, don't take it personal. I don't know why they told me that shit, but it helped me through some things that I thought were very personal. But it made me keep my feelings close to me, but I made sure that I let people know what I was thinking. And I think that that's important. I think as any man in any industry or any entity, career-wise, you have to make a statement about who you are and who you want to be. And, you know, when I came into business, I was a young dude. You know, I'm sorry, I probably pissed off a lot of people. I mean, I got a bad rap as well as a good one. But I think, you know, I think I'm happy on the inside, and I think that I'm trying to make a lot of wrongs right. So I think that's how it starts. I think that's how it starts. You got to start within. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that leads me up to whatever I've been through in this adult industry. It's my experience, one of a kind, and I've never been ashamed of it. So, you know, if anybody can relate to that, then we good.
Now, what motivated you to write this book? That first of all, let me remind the listening audience the title of the book is his book is entitled "The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex." It's actually not available just yet. It will officially be available, according to Amazon.com, on June 22nd. That's about 3 weeks from now. Now, was this suggested to you? Did some guys come to you and say, hey, man, I want to be as popular with the ladies as you, Mr. Marcus, man. Give me some tips. Were the women like, oh, I want to teach my man how to fuck me like Mr. Marcus does it? How did this come about?
Those are all nice ways for it to happen. I get you. You got a hell of an imagination. but more truthfully, I'll go to the title first. I think the title was a whole bunch of titles, but I like this one. It was actually we were going between the porn stars or the porn star guides. Everything was plural, and I didn't want it plural. I needed it to be singular. So we stuck with the porn star guide, great sex. I figured it was a singular effort, if anything, and that's, you know, what it should be. You know, in business-wise, I think it's a great way to start a business, actually, to just make a title that's catchy. And I think that title is catchy. So obviously, you know, it was a team effort, but we all were on the same page. As far as, like, the concept of where it originated from, it was an agent, a literary agent out in New York. You know, there's a whole bunch of them out there. She contacted me and was like, hey, what do you think about the idea of writing a book, like a how-to book? And that was the catch, a how-to book. It wasn't like I was going to write one about me. Mm-hmm. It was going to be based off of what I've been through, but it was really based off the fact that what I experienced as a sexual performer, that sexual part was what I was going to, you know, discuss. So it was great. It made sense to me, and I liked the concept. I liked the approach. And so we just developed, and that was like almost 4 years ago now. And, you know, it's original. You know, that's how most things happen. They don't happen. It's singular, maybe one person, but it usually takes a team to make it happen. You got me?
Okay. Got you on that. Now, what do you hope to accomplish? Okay, I'll go by each gender. From the men who read it, what should they expect to learn from the Porn Star Guide to Grace?
Will you be able to take a guy who, say, just really has less than average seduction skills, sex skills, satisfaction skills in bed? And can a person like that, a guy like that, read your book and then become this sexual dynamo?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. He is probably my target audience, that guy that doesn't know shit. And that motherfucker who was kind of just don't get it, that guy, I really wrote the book in mind for him and his woman, you know, because as much as I like to think that women are equal or the sense of yours sexually, they're pretty much where we at. They don't know as much as they do, and we don't know as much as we should. I think sex is one of those things that ever, you know, it's always developing, always trying to express itself in some way. You know what I mean? I don't care if you're young or old, you know, a whore, a slut, or a virgin, you know, nativity set. You know, like, this book is kind of written for everyone from one side to the other, and everybody in between. It really is, man.
Okay.
It really is.
Now, what about women who read it? What would a woman learn from reading your book?
I think a woman will learn that, you know, she's not in the boat all by herself. Because some women have a tendency to look at other women who are sexually able and say, I can't do that. I can never do that. And when I tried to write the book, was like, no, you probably could. You just have to actually apply yourself to the idea. That's the same way you practice yoga or, you know, a strict diet or, you know, the ritual of your hair, is the same way you can apply certain techniques to sex and actually make it better. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay. All right.
I really do. I feel like there's things in there. I think there's things that, you know, we get real singular in our decisions, in our actions, and forget that there's actually help out there. There's people that can help you. There's people that have been through things that can communicate how they navigated it, how they got through it or around it. And those things can actually help you do the same thing or avoid that situation altogether. Enhance the one that you got, the technique that you have. The book is actually meant to enhance the prose.
Okay, now, I would think that with all the movies you've made and all the different scenarios, if you don't mind me asking, in your personal life, do you sometimes find it maybe challenging to get aroused over just regular, what some would call regular, basic, conventional sex because you have all these wild, out-of-the-ordinary scenarios?
No, I'll be real honest with you. My expectations of sex are pretty low. You blow me, that's damn good. That's the greatest thing ever. So if I even get a little bit of that, I'm happy. The fact that we even have sex sometimes, I'm just, thank you. I'm still that guy, man. I don't have no, like, I'm not expecting fireworks or nothing. I think, just the act to have sex. Damn good. I still feel that way after all this time. I have not complicated the process. I haven't tried to do anything beyond my capability. I've kept it pretty simple.
Man, you're a character. Now, I know what I want to ask you about, because when I told friends and acquaintances and listeners that I was going to be interviewing you, if there's one thing that kept coming up was this infamous interaction between you and Kareem Superhead 7. And what I want to know is, what makes your the footage you have with her and the interaction you have with her, why is this now such a legendary interaction? Because it's like, I don't know how many people brought that up to me, but I mean, they was like, oh, you got to ask him about Superhead. You got to ask him about Superhead. I mean, first of all, was it like some kind of competition between you two, like who can make each other come the quickest, or who can get the best of each other? Well, give me the story for those listeners who don't know what this is about. Kind of clue them in on what's the whole deal between you and Superhead.
Superhead, you know, I wish someone explained to me, like really the true. I don't know what it is. The true. What is it? Because you're right. Are you questioning it the way I'm questioning it? I don't know. But if I. And let me just put that out there, and then I'll answer your question with this. I think there was no competition. She was a girl that I met for a very. I talked to her over the phone. She was very confident who she was. And when I met her, we clicked like a motherfucker, because she is a cool chick. She's like one of those. I'm a cool nigga, so when I meet a cool chick, I be like, "Yeah, you a cool chick." But, and then the additive was that we had to make a porno movie together. And in my mind, it was supposed to be one way. I was gonna make it like I made with all the other girls. But in her mind, she was gonna do her thing, no matter if cameras rolling or not, because she was used to doing her thing. And so she really was. She was a professional at what she does. And I didn't expect that at all. I was expecting, you know, another amateur trying to make a porno. And we've seen those before. Well, at least I have. But she wasn't an amateur. She's a professional. She's a professional. And I think she wanted me to know that.
Okay. Okay, now would you, let me ask you, would you rank her as one, did she live up to her name? Would you rank her as one of the best blowjob givers you've ever had, or do you think her name is a little bit overhyped?
No, there's a lot of overhype. You know, whoever she's giving it to, trust me, they'll disagree. You're like, oh, no, nigga, this is pretty good. And at that time, I think the biggest thing was that she taught a lot of other women. You know, she really, really, in a way, and I don't think she expected it, but she made a lot of women say, okay, if she can do that, then I can do that too. Or at least I'm going to try to. And I think that from what I've seen is that other people have credited that particular scene to why they give head better. So if it did that, I guess that's not a bad thing.
Okay. Listeners, when I come back from this intermission break, I will have more questions for adult film superstar Mr. Marcus. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously Lee. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also let you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You
know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindsets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Listeners know there's a letter in my personal letter to a young brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview with adult film industry superstar Mr. Marcus on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward. Tonight, I'm conversing with adult film superstar Mr. Marcus, who has a new book coming out entitled The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex. The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex. Now, Mr. Marcus, how important, this might be a semi-dumb question, but how important is healthy eating and exercise to a great sex life?
You know, because I think porn gives you the, it gives you the, like, allows you to watch what, you know, other people do, what you probably would want to do. And it shows you what is possible. So if you have any, and I tell people the great thing, the greatest tool you have for sex is probably your mind, but your imagination. And the person that you share that imagination with, if they're on that same fucking level with you sexually, then you're going to have a great time. And I think with porn, is you kind of like, they give you a lot of different elements, a lot of different looks, but the scenarios, the setups, are all fantasy things. They're all fantastic things that in our mind that we want to see happen sexually with someone. It plays a role. Porn plays a sexual role or game that we are either going to participate in playing or, you know, shun it completely. But I think that if you visually just take it for what it's worth, it might enhance your situation. It might, like, make your sex life a little bit more interesting. You know, just take it for what it is. You know what I mean? It is playing a role, just like a movie or any other form of entertainment. You feel me?
Yeah.
It basically comes down to that. Know what you're watching before you watch it, okay? We're going to watch a porno, honey. And we don't have to watch the whole thing, but let's just watch the part that turns us on. And I think porn's objective is to give you options. It's to say, you may not like this, but maybe you'll like that. And if you don't like that, then you might like this. And there's so much. It's not a singular thing. You got to understand, people's imagination is deeper than that when it comes to sex. You know, sex is, you know, I like to say that sex is one of the things that we still think about as we're doing it. We fantasize about sex, and then when we're actually having sex, we're still fantasizing. So it don't stop. It's a weird, you know, it's a weird relationship you have with your body and your mind, sex. But I think it's one of those necessary, you know, I don't think God meant it to be a necessary evil, but it is a very necessary, you know, necessary.
Now, you seem like a pretty, you know, well-adjusted brother.
Right, well-adjusted. I've heard that before.
Now, you know, in the old days, there was kind of this negative stereotype that if you worked in the porn industry, that means you were like some kind of semi-drug addict or alcoholic,
yeah.
Or you had mental issues and problems.
Right.
Would you say that nowadays that a lot of people who work in the adult film industry are fairly well-adjusted, but they're just more, you know, free-spirited and open-minded?
I mean, I would love to say that, but it ain't true.
So you said there are some fucked up people in the industry, huh?
There's some fucked up people in this industry. You know, it's a rare career move for people. It's very drastic. It's extreme. It's not normal. You know, all those things apply when it comes to the pornography industry. And yeah, you're gonna get some people that, you know, you see them well adjusted, and then there's some that you know for a fact that this was not. It's not the right decision for them. This is not something that's going to work out well. And that's true, whether they're sane or insane when they come into this business, because I've seen them both. But I think it's not until they get into this business that you realize, okay, this is for me or it's not for me. And, you know, pretty much sums it up.
Now, is there – this is another one of my classic semi-dumb questions, but – I would assume most people would probably argue that there's some degree of racism in any industry, but you would think the adult film industry would be very open-minded. But have you, as a performer, and more specifically as a top performer, experienced your share of racism in the adult film industry?
Extremely. Way
really?
More than I should. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, what I learned about people and their view on other people's races, that we're just ignorant to it. We're ignorant to what people's culture is about. We're ignorant to what people, you know, what's important to them. Our moral values are different from one person to the next. And we make a lot of prejudgment. And then the last probably key element to why, you know, racism exists in the pornography industry, because it has a certain sexual tension. And sometimes, to, you know, in real shit, to some people, they need a sexual attention to get off. So the porn industry obviously supplies it, you know, and that's why it exists, because people want it. People are going to be always about race. It's always going to be an issue. I don't ever see us arriving at some place where we're like, kumbaya.
That was good. Okay, let me ask you, what do you think in the bedroom is one of the top 2 to 3 things that men fail to do to please their women? And then after you answer that, what are 2 to 3 things that you feel women fail to do to please their men?
That is a great question. I like that question. Yes,
thank you.
It's like, you know, you gotta get the answer right. Now the pressure is on. dude's looking at his woman right now. Like, and she's looking right back. She's like, yeah, huh? I would say probably number one. Yeah, I did an interview recently where they asked me, like, you know, somebody asked me, so what do men want in the bedroom? And my first instinct was like, they want to have fun. I mean, sex should be fun. It should be fun. You should try to like, you know, make light of the situation so that you know, relax in the joy, because it's meant to relax you. It's meant to, you know, create a bond. It's meant to relieve you, definitely relieve you. But, you know, and if you have a significant other, then it bonds you with that motherfucker. If it's someone you like, you know, you feel like it's an achievement. You can probably count how many times y'all had sex. It matters to people. Sex does matter. So I think it's something that you need to allow to do whatever it's going to do in your life, in the bedroom, between you and your husband or you and your wife. You know, fine-tune it. I mean, you mentally, sometimes it may just be a mental blockage where you're not getting what you want because you haven't shared what you truly want in the first place. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be honest with yourself and with your significant other. I think sexually that you're going to have some uncomfortable situations, but I think you're going to have to deal with them in order to move on. And sex is one of those things that you can't get hung up on. I just don't think you could. I don't think it's, you know, one of those things you should allow to hamper your sex life. You know, deal with what you want to deal with. Put it out there on the table, especially with someone you trust. Or secretly, go and do your sexual shit on the low so nobody ever knows. And get off 10 times as hard. And let everybody, and don't tell nobody nothing, and keep it moving. You got a choice.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's interesting, hearing an adult film star say, don't get hung up on sex.
And here I am, literally stuck. I think if it becomes a negative thing for you,
yeah.
You know what I mean? If you become very, like, you know, anger, you know, bitter and intense because of sex, then, you know, there's a whole, I can go on the internet, right, and be surfing all these porn sites, and it's usually for research, or it's just, you know, because I want to see what my industry is making, but it was no sooner than I turn off my computer, walk outside, and get some fresh air where I'm just like, you know, happy, great to be alive. Porn can be a tunnel. It can be like a funnel into some deep, dark shit. So, you know, don't take it so serious. Understand that it's made for entertainment. It's made to enhance your sex life. Don't let it become your sex life. So when I talk about it, I really feel like that important message that should go along with, you know, the porn material.
Okay. Now, have you ever, since you wrote this book, this would be a little different than writing a book, but have you ever, like, maintained, like, a journal of your experiences? Would you ever write, say, at the end of your career, a memoir book, you know, Mr. Marcus's memoir of all your interesting experiences, your highlights of your career?
I like to write, and I think that I have another book in me. I would love to see this first book do great. And then the publisher would say to me, okay, can you do another? And I think that that's the one where I get to write about, you know, my own personal, you know, life, and the things that I've been through and all that stuff. I think that this book is a how-to, and the next one will be about, you know, more about the guy who wrote the first book.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Okay. Now, I've been told that you that you all in the adult film industry are in many respects healthier than the average American male and average American female walking around. How frequently is the average adult film star tested for HIV and other STDs?
The industry has an industry standard of 30 days, you know, full STD HIV testing and STD panel, which, you know, there's arguments. Right now we got the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, you know, battling people in the industry saying that that's not effective enough. It doesn't really count for nothing because people can go get tested and turn around and go have sex and then become positive with something and have 30 days, 29 days of, you know, of ability to affect each other. And I say that that's a valid argument. But from what I've seen, that our testing, if it overlaps and the people that we work with are within that same testing, then it's a little bit more of a safer community. Now, the only time you're going to have a problem is when someone goes outside that circle and, you know, proceeds to have sex with someone who doesn't in turn have a test. And I've been down that path, and it's one of those things where I think, you know, it comes down to, you know, performance responsibility. I like to buy into the myth that we're a lot safer. I used to say that. I used to say that we are a safer bunch. But if we break that circle, if we break that trust or that testing cycle that we have within each other with someone who doesn't have that same testing, then all of those tests become null and void. And then that's something that can definitely be argued. So in one regard, testing and knowing your status is great, and you should do that consistently, but you should also request that consistently from the people you have sex with. And until that happens, then we're all going to be at risk. Got me?
Okay. All right. Now, when you do a scene with a woman, do you have to, is it just kind of like cold turkey, you kind of like build rapport like 5 or 10 minutes before you're about to shoot, or do you hang out the night before and do dinner? I mean, is there any type of particular routine you would do?
Yeah, we all go out to the movies and we go watch, you know, beaches to see if the male is going to... He's a sensitive type.
You're the best, man. You know. Your character.
You know, we basically show up on a set and we're like kind of handshake it into, you know, whatever it's going to be. Good to meet you. And I usually, when I meet a girl, I usually don't want to know too much about her. But then I find but sometimes it can enhance a situation if she's attractive. And on top of that, she has a nice backstory. Then it's always good to like sit around and just talk first.
Now, you know, what's interesting is that you said you don't really want to know too much. When I interviewed, going back to Diana DeVoe, that's what she said. She said whenever she did a scene, she didn't want to know her co-star too well. She said for example, if she was going to have a scene with a guy, say, on Friday, but she hung out with him on Wednesday, and the guy told her that he loves Sarah Palin and she didn't like Sarah Palin, she says she thinks that would fuck up her chemistry with that guy when they do a scene. So she said the less she knew about him, the better. What are your thoughts on that mentality?
Yeah, no, I get that. There's some people that I don't want to really talk any further with. And then there's definitely people that you're like, I have a less of an interest now. I'm not, you know, I think it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Where's my check?
Now, what do you think about women? One thing I hear from women a lot on the shows I do is that a big thing women struggle with is that they want to release and unveil their kinky side, but they want to kind of have some semblance of being a good girl so they can attract a quality boyfriend or husband. So how can women be both kind of the good girl and the kinky freak, or is that even possible?
I think it's possible. I think girls kind of, they downplay their intelligence. You know, it's like, oh, I don't have to be smart. I can just be dumb. Because they're basically saying my body and my attitude are going to, what's going to, you know, get him attracted to me. But what about your smarts? I don't, you know, if a guy's intimidated by intelligence, then you definitely don't need to fuck with him, obviously. Because, you know, it's like, don't let like, your smarts, you know, don't be afraid to let your smarts scare a motherfucker away. I mean, that should be a benefit. You should look for intelligence in somebody. You know what I mean? It's nice. I think women are competitive when it comes down to wearing makeup and the clothing and how the hair is. Overall, they want to stay. The most confident bitch wins, as far as I'm concerned. So I think if she's confident in who she is, and on top of that, smart and sexy, all those things will kind of just come through. She'll know better. Trust me, I know so much more now than what I did when I was, you know, a little 19, 20-year-old dude running around. You know, it's like you really want somebody that's in some long haul. You want somebody that's intelligent. And it's great if they look good, but you know that looks fade. So I think it's one of those things where if you can encourage a woman to just be herself, comfortable in her own skin, and intelligent on top of all that, just even if it's street or book or school or what experience-driven knowledge, then smart, then I think most cats, you'll weed out a lot of people that way. Because most cats really just want somebody that's, if they are intelligent, that's a bonus. That's a plus. That's like an incentive, you know, for holding conversations. And knowing that you're dealing with a realistic person. I think women, you know, women are competitive, but I don't want one who is. I like a bitch that's top. Ain't gonna lie. We got our shit together. But I think if she's smart and confident, then that's attractive all day long. That is. It really is. That's some attractive shit.
Now, here's an interesting question I have for you. I had this for Diana DeVoe and Nina Hartley. Now, a number of you all are married, or if not married, in very serious relationships. How does that work? I'm assuming that the average person would have a hard time understanding how that would even work. How can you be married, but you go to work and just fuck everybody?
Right. It ain't easy. It ain't gonna ever be easy. And, you know, nobody wants it to be easy. I think, you know, it says something about the partner that you choose, that if they're understanding, and that's what you're asking them to be, to whatever degree that, you know, they are in your life, it's just saying, you know, you're like, you're fortunate you got somebody who's understanding. I mean, it really just comes down to that. And on top of the fact that, you know, we all individuals. I mean, who's to say I'm supposed to like the girl that you like or supposed to get the type of relationship that you have established, that you experience? Maybe this is normal for me. Maybe it makes sense for us. I got you as an outside looking in. You're like, what the hell is going on over there? But in reality, maybe that's just some shit that they got worked out with each other. I think that, you know, when you get into this business and you deal with someone who has a high sex drive, you will find people make adjustments for that shit. Because, you know, it's like, do you love them or do you hate them? If you don't want to be with them, then don't even start the process. But I think it says something about the mate that we choose. You know, they have a huge understanding. And you hope that translates into something very rewarding for them in return. You know, as a guy like me or Diana DeVoe can attest to, it ain't easy. It's a constant, you know, you're constantly, you know, trying to make sure that your significant other is happy. I think they just do it on purpose because guilt is their weapon of choice. You're fucking all these motherfuckers. At least you can do is pay for dinner.
Okay, as I move to this next intermission break, I'm going to ask you a favor. Since you are a fellow author, I have a book out called Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking, and it encourages single men to approach women and express their romantic and or sexual desires in a highly self-assured, upfront, straightforward manner. So what I do with a lot of the guests on my show, I have them take the title of my book, Mo 1, and stretch out the O so that it's something like Mo 1. So I'm going to get Mr. Marcus to give me his best rendition of Mo 1.
Mm-hmm. All right, you ready?
You ready?
All right. This is Mr. Marcus, and I'm just going to tell y'all to go out there and support my boy in his book, Mo 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
From up front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Matter of fact, I'm going to tell my listeners right now, you need to pick up both of these books, because to me, they almost go hand in hand. See, my book will get you talking to the woman, you know, get the conversation going, and then once she give you the green light that you guys got chemistry, then you take the advice, knowledge, and wisdom of Mr. Marcus, and you start exchanging orgasms. So pick up Mo 1 and The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex. But I'm going to come back, listeners, for one more segment of questions with adult film superstar Mr. Marcus. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we'll post about getting a better job. We'll tweet to say that we love what we just ate. But when's the last time you might face someone to tell them you've been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/leftblank. To email your story to us anonymously, send it to jollialiali@jollialiali.com.
Another Sound Off Now show starts now.
Yo, what's up? This man, Sound Off Now. What's good, people? Monday morning, first of the year. How's everybody doing? Yo, what's up? This man, Sound Off Now. What's up? This man, Sound Off Now. How's everybody doing? Welcome to a Tantalizing Tuesday on the Sound Off Now show. Hello, how's everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Sound Off Now show, special edition, Monday night special, Crisis in Haiti.
Hey, this your man, Sound Off Now. No, really, it's me this time. I want to take this quick opportunity to invite everyone out to my return to internet radio and my home, of course, Blog Talk Radio, February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sound Off Now show, The Rebirth, same real life, real talk, real issues show format, just a different attitude and mental concept of bringing you quality shows you deserve. Also, we will still be hitting you with that popular mesh of hot show topics and forums with that blend of music on the side, including hot, hot, hot Club SON Platinum on Fridays, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. So join me February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the rebirth of the Sound Off Now show to the internet airwaves and Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you there.
Myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated, he's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that, because she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her, you know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Turn to my interview with adult film industry superstar Mr. Marcus on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We've been chatting it up tonight. I've been having a very entertaining and informative conversation with adult film superstar Mr. Marcus. Mr. Marcus, he first gained fame with his own series, Mr. Marcus Neighborhood. Now, at the time you first got that series, was that was considered kind of like groundbreaking, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, hoping to know what I know then, what I know now. I just, you know, I was a young dude, but I don't know, I was determined. It was the first series. It was really based off this series called Dark Alley. Dark Alley was a series that they did back in, like, early 90s that was just all black amateur. You know, real pretty black girls, real simple settings. You know, it was like the first black-on-black that was just kind of like local, in the valley, that was, you know, really, really making a statement. And Mr. Marcus Neighborhood came with the emphasis on new girls, new black girls, but that did anal. This was really, really, like, that was unheard of, because girls weren't taking into that. They were like, hell no. I didn't even know how to film it. We used to loop it if we got, like, 30 seconds of it, because the girls weren't really into it, and the guys weren't really into it.
Really?
And, yeah. And it's funny, because this was, like, the early 90s. But I kept thinking in my mind, like, what have people been doing? And, you know, it made me realize that porn industry, although I think they want to say that they're, like, leading the sexual revolution, I think it's really the opposite. And I think that people dictate what porn becomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think anal was just one of those things that people probably were doing it. Maybe they weren't really doing it. They didn't like it. But porn started doing it and kind of brought, and girls were coming to the industry prepared to do it. So their mind was right. And their body would follow. So it was just kind of like Mr. Marcus's Neighborhood, in that regard, is probably new to a lot of people as far as like the whole talking to the camera, breaking the third wall, the interactive, the interviews before the actual sex, the new black girls,
because that's what it was really all about, was just new black girls. And in a situation that wasn't too serious. It was, you know, a comical host, Mr. Marcus, and then a bunch of willing participants. And that's what the Mr. Marcus neighborhood was all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, Diana DeVoe suggested that she was very sad when that series came to an end. How did it affect you when that series came to an end?
It didn't bother me one bit.
Oh, okay. So you knew there was bigger and better things on the horizon.
Well, I wasn't really tripping. I wasn't never like driven by the directing of the movie. I was driven by the pussy. As long as I'm not pussy.
I like that realness.
You know, it was about sex. They were like, am I going to still have some more sex? And they were like, yeah, you can continue having sex. I think for business-wise, it was probably setting me up to do other things. It probably helped with a lot of things. But at the time, I really wasn't aware of it. And that's the honest response.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what do you think are the top 2 to 3 factors that contribute to a sizzling hot scene in an adult film?
Chemistry is probably numero uno, and probably sexual attractiveness to each other, which is chemistry.
Okay.
And probably like a creative setup, creative environment, you know?
Yeah.
A very, very, you know, it has to, and relatability. There has to be something there that you probably relate to, whether in reality or through your imagination. You've got to be something that you can actually grip on sexually and say, okay, I can roll with that. Or I want to do that. Or I never tried that. But it has to provoke, you know, it has to provoke a feeling in you, a thought, an idea that you didn't have before. That's good for
Nazis. Okay. How do you feel? You started in the early to mid 90s. Do you feel there's what major significant ways do you feel the adult film industry has changed, improved, or even worsened?
Let's say that part again.
What ways do you think the adult film industry has changed, say, in the last 15 years? I mean, first it was, you know, in these little theaters, then it moved to VHS, and now DVD, and, like, one of the criticisms is there's no longer these, like, kind of feature-length adult films anymore. It's all these short vignettes. So I wanted to know from you, in what ways do you think the porno industry has changed, say, for the better, and name maybe one way you think the porno industry might have changed for the worse?
I think the porn industry has changed over the last 15 years in a way where it's more diverse, there's more content, there's more selective, there's more selectability, there's more of a, you know, a catering to a fetish or a sexual preference. It has probably evolved to the internet, and featureless films are not actually abandoned and non-existent in this business. There's companies like Vivid and Wicked and Hustler that still make even parodies. Parodies are really big right now. Porn parodies, XXX parodies.
Oh.
And they're big because they have a storyline, they're funny, they're not taken seriously, and, you know, it's very bad acting, but on top of that, it's just entertaining. It's entertainment. So parodies are doing really well. And even people like, there's a website called Naked Chat, live.com, and they basically have interactive, you know, visual sex. Like, instead of you masturbating to a magazine, you can actually masturbate to your computer with a live person in the other end. And that's big. It's getting big because people are more computer savvy. They have their computer at home. It's more of an interaction with a human being, a female, which, you know, doesn't matter if it's through a computer screen over the phone or in person. To some people, that's all they need is just a a response. And live chat, those things provide that. So you're seeing more of an interactiveness going on between what a woman's sexual ability, whether they're in a porno or they're on the other end of a you know, a webcam. You know, the consumer, the majority men are still responsive. This is real shit right now. Are still responsive to that image or images or that interaction. And that is probably the new era of porn.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, tell me about it.
Now, do you have, I think I read one this interview of you a while back where it was somehow, I think you said you have, at different times, different celebrities come up to you and give you kudos. Is that something that happens on a pretty regular basis? Do you have, like, people who you might even be fans of, like movie stars, TV stars, radio industry stars, that come to you and say, hey, Mr. Marcus, you know, either the women jocking you or the men, they say, hey, man, you know, keep holding it down, that type of thing?
I've met everybody from Tupac to Snoop to Neo to T-Pain, you know, to, you know, fuck, man, to people behind the scenes, you know, Eddie Murphy. Well, no, I ain't really met him. Let me stop lying.
That was good.
I've met a lot of people that I'm definitely fans of. It's hard. It's a fucked up balance. I ain't gonna lie, because I want to be cool with them, but they think I'm cool already, but I be trying to be cooler.
what
it is, man. I fuck with it. I'm always in awe of people that I meet, whether they're famous or not. I tend to meet incredible people. You know, and hopefully I can catch the way my mama raised me. But I've been real blessed, man. I have no complaints about the people I've met and the people that have met me. It's all been pretty damn good, no doubt.
Now, let me ask you this. Is among the men in the industry, do you guys have all a sense of, like, camaraderie, or is there sometimes an underlying sense of competitiveness?
You know what? I almost dare people to, like, find a reason, you know, to talk shit about me. I talk more shit about myself. And I tend to keep a lot of things I think about people real personal, because I know that they're human, and I know I've done the same thing, whether it was worse or not as bad. So I hope that judgment doesn't play a part, but it can with so many younger cats, because they don't know better. But I've had people really feel one way about me. But I think over time, you know, I've learned what I felt about them. I really don't really feel that way anymore. Like, I'd rather see them happy and successful. And I think that you just have to wish that for across the board. You know, you'll be happier with your own mistakes and successes. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So to answer that question, now, I mean, I make it a point to meet people that are in this business and sit down and talk to them and find out what's going on with them and leave the judgment at home. You know, you got to lead by example.
Yeah. What was I going to ask you? Now, do you ever have, I was talking about celebrities coming up to you and approaching you.
Yes.
Do you ever have women just say who are attracted to you just almost come up to you and want to, like, jump your bones and just, like, almost, you know, try to get you to, like, say, bang them in the backseat of their car at a grocery store or something?
Mm-hmm. I don't mean I will, but, yeah, women are just as bold as men when it comes to, like, you know, sexual conquest.
I believe that. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, do you think women these days are far more sexually assertive than they were, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the images. They know that there's a certain sexualness that exists in celebrities. If their sexuality is stronger than their favorite celebrities, then they feel like they can almost be their favorite celebrity or beyond. So I think, and then, it goes back to the images. Porn is a lot more, it's easily more accessible, and what it tells immediately is sex or a sexual nature. And I think that encourages it as well. And I think women have always been the root of our sexual drive, okay? Most majority of the men in this world can honestly say that they did it for a woman. They did it for a female, a girl, or whatever the fuck. Majority of us are driven by that sexuality that really starts in a woman and kind of like continues on through us. What was the question again?
That was good. You're breaking down some shit, dude. You're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm on a tangent here. What was the question again? No, I just asked you, did you think women were more, if they were more sexually assertive nowadays than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I got to ask you, have you met this guy? I admire the hell out of him, and I just was a big fan from the first time. And I, matter of fact, I wanted to get him on my show, but I still haven't been able to. But he's an old head. Some might call him one of the godfathers of the industry. John Leslie, man. What's John Leslie like in person?
John Leslie is an OG, capital OG. He's like, in his mind, he's a musician. You know that. He plays the harmonica and he plays it in a blues band.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so the way, you know, it's funny because the way he's like the Miles Davis of porn. He probably will. He probably would say agree, because the way he sees things sexually is like, I really think it's beyond a lot of other people. He's very poetic. He's very comfortable, you know, about letting his performers have a sexual dictation. He knows what he needs, what he doesn't need for the camera. He's very, you know, when he edits to the music, he's very like, you know, he's a musician, but he's a musician who makes porn. He's one of those guys.
Interesting. Hey, man, if you happen to run into him in the upcoming weeks, months, please give me a referral to that brother, man. Tell him that I've been wanting to interview that dude for so long, because number one, the first thing I liked about him was when he used to do movies on the performing end, he could actually act. I mean, a lot of people in the porn industry, you know, with all due respect, they can't really act. But he was actually a good actor. I mean, I felt like he could have made it as an actor in mainstream films. And then as a director and producer and writer, he just, to me, knew how to write scenes that really kept your interest. He had some, you know, good character development. And so I've just always been a fan of that dude's work, man. And I told Nina Harley I wanted to interview him. Matter of fact, she tried to connect me with him, so he's real cool.
I'll email him. Yeah, he's super cool. He's beyond cool. You know, it's funny because you had me think of something right now. A lot of people like to mention Jules Jordan as, you know, the heir apparent to, like, you know, porn and what it is. But I think John Leslie is probably the most passionate, most original, true-to-life pornographer. Definitely. I would say that about him.
Okay.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I was listening to that. Okay.
We're almost done, right? We've been on for a little while. We're almost done?
Yeah, we got about probably 3 or 5 minutes to go. And I got just a couple more questions, and I'm going to let you go for the evening. Well, I have to ask you about one of your contemporaries. This guy used to try to rap in addition to do porn. I saw you guys do a couple movies together. What happened to Jake Steed, man?
He's MIA.
MIA, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
That's all I can say about that one.
All right, I'll leave that one alone. Is there any two or three films? Well, first of all, before I ask you this question, you know you did a film on the campus of my alma mater, man. I graduated from Indiana University in Bloomington. And you did a film there. They called The Big Ruckus, man. Do you remember that?
What school?
It's Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay, that was a big deal.
Yeah, man, I remember because, you know, that's why I went to school, and I remember reading an article, man, that you caused a ruckus on the whole campus. They had a whole bunch of articles, and it was this big controversy. And,
yeah.
Give me a couple of thoughts on that experience.
We were down there for the Shane's World, actually. We were doing Shane's World, which was basically about going to different Shane would always do to different cities, different capitals, and just make porn in that city while highlighting that whole city and letting people know where they were at. So I was determined to be on those trips because I wanted to be outside the norm, you know, where porn was usually real. I wanted to do something different, and I got it was a good way to get out of the house. No doubt. But the University of Indiana was actually voted the number one party school in the nation.
Oh yeah.
So we wanted to go and see if that was true or not, no doubt. And that's what happened. And it was. The motherfuckers partied pretty hard.
okay. Now, my final question would be, I was going to ask you just what was your favorite two or three films you might have done, but I'm going to ask you a different question. This will be my final question. When you see different politicians and people from the religious right criticizing porn and calling it smut, but then you read articles about these politicians doing whatever in the bathroom and... Do you just want to just get a big sign and say, you damn hypocrites? I mean, what are your response to people who criticize the porn industry and call it things like smut?
I think I would like to say that they're hypocrites, but I think there's people that truly, genuinely do not like porn, and they don't like what it means, and they don't like what it stands for. And if I wasn't actually in this industry, or if I was, just an observer, I can see why that's a valid thought. I just feel like there's so many other attributes to this industry that, yeah, I know, you can focus on some really negative shit. It's like a few bad apples spoil the whole bunch. I just think that there's some validation in some of this stuff that some people don't have the sexual techniques or skills that they need. And, in movies, try to really get as close to that as possible, in a PG-13 or NC-17 formal way. But I think the XXX is there to say, for those people who need it to be explicit, it needs to be... a little dirty, a little naughty, a little raunchy. They don't necessarily have to be the people making it or participating, but they are the people that love to watch it. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure interviewing you, my brother. I wish you nothing but continued success, and particularly with your book. Listeners, again, you can find it on the internet or in bookstores. Is called The Porn Star Guide to Great Sex, Mr. Marcus. That's right, and he's in a number of adult films, so just Google him, look up his films, and enjoy it. But brother, you have a great... Oh, before I let you go, I got to ask you real quick, who's your pick in the NBA Finals? What's your prediction?
I'm a Lakers. I'm a 100% LA 5, born and raised, born and bred, born running the motherfucking streets with a cap and a W thrown way up in the high. Sky.
Lakers in how many games?
I think Lakers going to do it in 5.
Lakers in 5, okay. All right, Miss.
If I'm allowed that 1 point, but Lakers in 5. Lakers in 5.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see if your prediction comes true. But again, brother man, thanks a lot. And again, I wish you the best with your book and just continue to hold it down, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And listeners, right. I'll be back next week with a gentleman named Stephen Penner. We'll be discussing the concept of matchmaking. Is there an art to matchmaking? Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I'll see you next Thursday. Take care and always be upfront and straightforward.